this Nancy Turner program called This Is the Day. Well, you've heard about this guy, Randy Alcorn. He's written a lot of books. He also has a website you can go to, which I'm on right now. I invite you to check it out, called Eternal Perspective Ministries. Just go there and see all the stuff that he's doing. It's Randy Alcorn, as I said. He's written a book on heaven, lots of other books. And Randy, thank you for being with us this morning.
You're very welcome, Nancy. Great to be with you.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Excellent. Well, Randy, first of all, I have to ask you, you know, this book that we're looking at that you have right now is called If God is Good, Faith in the Midst of Suffering and Evil. You know, I think all of us struggle with that. Wow, there's so much that seems like we don't understand. God, how can you? If you're so good, how can you? How can this be happening? So we're going to get into that a little bit. So, but Randy, first I have to ask you, what made you write this book? What brought you to this, that you felt like this really needed to be written?
Well, I felt for many years in conversations with both believers and unbelievers that there is one question that rises to the top. It's not just a question, it's the question, and this is it. And believers and unbelievers kind of approach it in different ways, and unbeliever says, well, an all-good and all-powerful God would not create a world with all this evil and suffering, therefore I don't believe in God. For the Christian, it's, I don't understand why he would permit, ordain, cause, fill in the blank, you know, according to how you see it, but why would there be all this evil and suffering in the world? And these this question plagues some people. Other people move forward, but they still have this sense of, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. And it, for some people, by faith, they trust God has a purpose. He'll cause all things to work together for good. And yet, at the same time, they have this sense of, but my daughter died of leukemia. My husband died in a car crash. My wife left me. The business went up in smoke and ruins and natural disasters and all of these issues. Mm.
So given that, and given that we have these sort of this dilemma about this, how do you approach having us understand it?
Well, I think we have to go back to the original creation. One of the things I say to people when they say, well, I just don't believe an all-good and all-powerful God who would create a world like this with all this evil and suffering. You say, well, you know, your intuition is exactly correct. He did not. He did not create a world like this. He created a perfect world, a world without evil and without suffering. Then the question becomes, okay, but why would God create a world in which evil and suffering could even eventually happen? Mm-hmm. And this is where we look at this reality that God values meaningful choice. He values it on the part of angelic beings. He values it on the part of human beings created in his image. And it was so important to God that we be real people who can make real choices, and those real choices having real consequences for good or for evil, that he built that capacity into us because he doesn't want Stepford wives. He wants the bride of Christ. He wants people not who love him because he makes them love him, mm-hmm. not because they have no choice but to follow him, but because we want to follow him, because we choose to follow him, because we choose to love him. And with that capacity for choice, which is a great blessing, comes also a potential for great curse, and that is what has fallen upon humanity. And Romans 8 says that, you know, the whole creation fell on the coattails of humanity. The whole creation groans for the redemption that will come only with the resurrection of God's children.
Boy, you went right where I was going to go next, Romans 8:28, where the scripture says, all things work together for good to those who love God, yet you suggest that sometimes that verse is used properly and improperly, both. We're going to take a break. I'd like to address that on the other side and ask you this question as well. What are some ways, and let's just get down to the bottom line, that we can counsel and console ourselves and family and friends who are going through suffering? Randy Alcorn, right after this. All right, our program called This is the Day, and our guest is Randy Alcorn, who is the author of the recently released Multnomah Publishers book, If God is Good, Faith in the Midst of Suffering and Evil. Also the founder and director of Eternal Perspective Ministries. Go check out his website, and he's written lots of other fabulous books as well. Randy, welcome back.
Thanks.
Let's talk about Romans 8:28 here. All things work together for good to those who love God. We sometimes have a hard time believing that, or maybe even thinking of it properly. Would you talk to us about this?
Well, here's a great passage of Scripture that's very powerful. There is a right time and a wrong time to share it. Sometimes I've heard this verse shared with people right after tragedy strikes. And, you know, if you've lost a child by a disease or in an automobile accident, or however it is, for somebody to just come to you and say, well, that's okay, don't worry about it, because God will cause all things to work together for good to those who love him. This is not the way God comforts his people. I mean, Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus. He wasn't just saying, oh, well, everything's okay, don't worry about it. Same thing with you know, Scripture says we are to weep with those who weep and we're to rejoice with those who rejoice. However, even though it can be shared at a wrong time, it is a verse that is absolutely inspired. It is just as true as John 3:16, and all of Scripture is true. And therefore, when we look at Romans 8 in context, we ask ourselves, well, does the all things that work together for good that's being talked about in Romans 8:28, do these include evil and suffering? Mm-hmm. Well, in actual fact, they don't. They don't simply include evil and suffering. Evil and suffering is exactly the subject matter of Romans 8. You look at from verse 18 through 39, the end of the chapter, that's what it's talking about. So it is talking about the worst things that happen in this world. In verse 18, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. And then it talks about the creation groaning, the pains of childbirth. But with those pains of childbirth, it's not the pains of death. It's the pains of childbirth. And the difference is the pain may be just as great or greater in childbirth, but what comes out of childbirth is the child.
A good thing.
Yeah, exactly. And what comes out of this groanings of this old earth under the curse is going to be a new earth, which the Bible promises. 2 Peter 3:13 says, therefore, we're looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And Revelation 21, talking about that new earth, says, God will wipe away the tears from every eye. Mm-hmm. There'll be no more pain, no more suffering. And there will be no more curse, Revelation 22 says, no more sin. The old order of things has passed away. Jesus says, behold, I'm making all things new. And so he's saying, God has not given up on this creation. He's not given up on us as people, and he's not given up on this world, and he died not only to redeem us, but to redeem the world itself, and righteous people will rule the earth and have dominion over it to the glory of God, just as he originally intended, so that Genesis 1 and 2, the first two chapters of the Bible, and Revelation 21 and 22, the last two, are like mirror images of each other, both with the tree of life and all these other aspects.
I love what you said. John 3:16 is just, all these other verses are just as real and important and
right.
Take them to the bank verses as that one. And that is so true that we need to hang on to that. I'm thinking about, you know, the person listening right now, Randy, and perhaps you can reach out to them in a real way, who is going through a very difficult time. There could be, you know, a variety of things happening to somebody listening right now. How do we approach them and talk to them about this?
Well, one of the things that I say to people is that if you can go back to Romans 8:28, you can say, take a sheet of paper and write down the best things that have ever happened to you in your life and the worst things that have ever happened to you in your life. And I recommend that people start with the worst things. I mean, just think of the worst things that ever happened, and then write down maybe on the back side of the same sheet of paper the best things that have ever happened. Now look at the best things and look at how many of the best things come either directly or indirectly out of the worst things. In my life, it's stunning. Honestly, and for a lot of people, they've never thought about this. Well, what this exercise does is gives us faith, because we can see things which happen in our lives that we never, at the time they happen, could possibly have imagined that good would come out of them.
That
and
is yet, so good.
It has. And so what we get a little taste of that. And so like Joseph, betrayed by his brothers. I mean, think of the most traumatic thing that could happen to who was probably a teenage boy at the time. And then Genesis 50, verse 20, years later, he looks at them and says, "You intended it for evil, but God intended it for good." That's mm-hmm. like the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is such a great exercise. In fact, it bears repeating. On one side of the paper, write down all the worst things that have happened in your life. On the other side, the best things that have happened in your life. And then take a look and see how the best things that happened couldn't have happened without those bad things happening. That is just a remarkable, freeing thing that in my mind I'm just placing them. And Randy, that's so good. Now, let me ask you this question here about your book, Heaven, and this book. How do these themes sort of tie together? How do they dovetail together?
Well, when I wrote the book, Heaven, which is had a phenomenal response. Mm-hmm. It's been like 650,000 copies that have been sold, and it's still in hardcover 5 years after it came out. I just have been amazed at how people have responded to it. But that book was such a rich experience talking about the world to come, talking about the new earth, which for some reason we as Christians have not talked much about. We talk more about the heaven you go to when you die, the present heaven prior to the resurrection. But the great promise of Scripture is the resurrection and the ultimate new heavens and new earth, the redeemed earth that we'll live on for all eternity, all of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And so that's what the Heaven book was about. Well, then, of course, I'm thinking, well, right, and that's the heaven that's to come that we're to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reference point. And kind of it's true north on our compass, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be. But meanwhile, we're living on a bruised and mm-hmm. crushed and groaning, cursed earth. And so how do we live now with the faith in God who promises that new heavens and new earth?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was sort of the natural place to go next, mm-hmm. to say, how can we live now with that kind of faith?
Mm. Randy, I love it. I love the books you're writing. I hope you're going to continue to do it. I invite you to go to our website, thisistheday.fm, and we'll provide a link back to him. But right now, get a couple of his books to give away. And Randy, we'll let you go. We thank you so much. And I love how you end your book. You say, "He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Here's the last words in Randy's book. He says, "When it comes to goodness and evil, present suffering and eternal joy, the final, the first word, and the last word is Jesus." So good. Randy, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Nancy.
God bless you, brother.
You've been listening to This Is the Day with Nancy Turner. For more information, visit our website, thisistheday.fm.